Welcome to TJ Slideways Live, courtesy of racesontheweb.com. Here is your host, TJ Buffenbarger.
Thank you, Beth. Coming to you here live in the Engine Pro Studios, just outside of a chilly Grand Rapids, Michigan. And if you just happen to be listening to us on the podcast on the way to Tulsa for the Chili Bowl, I hope you have safe travels. And even though it's chilly here, I've got a gentleman on the line who's in much warmer territory getting ready for a big winter challenge event coming up at the Canyon Speedway Park. Kevin Montgomery joins us on the line. And Kevin, it's an honor to have you on the air. I've been an admirer from afar of what you're doing there on the West Coast. And I'm looking at the Canyon schedule, and you're kicking off a real big season here on starting on January 23rd with practice and the first race on the 24th.
Well, I appreciate the call, and I appreciate you having me on. We are getting ready to kick off the Winter Challenge. This will be the third year of the Winter Challenge, and it's been a success right out of the gate, the first year we had it. A good kind of speed week for Arizona, which we've never had, and something that I've always wanted to do with sprint cars and modified. So looking forward to it, and we do have warm weather here, so I think it's about 75 degrees during the day, and I know you guys back east are all jealous of that.
Yeah, just a bit. I just got back in from outside chipping ice off my driveway, so that is appreciated. But it looks like a really neat event. You guys draw from all over the country. We just saw that Dave Darwin's going to be there. Brian Clausen's a past participant. And it's really drawing from a very large pool of racers, and there's lots of neat side events, too, including a bowling challenge on Wednesday.
Yeah, we did a few things last year, and we're actually still working on a few more things to kind of fill the week up, but we had a great bowling tournament last year, and just fun, something to get everybody out and about and doing different things during the week when we're not racing. So last year we went to a hockey game, and I think we're going to try to do a go-kart race this year. That's not confirmed yet, but we're still working on a few things to fill up the Tuesday. We usually leave Monday for guys to clean up and stuff from 3 days of racing, and then do a deal on Tuesday and Wednesday to kind of fill up the week, and then we'll go back at it for Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
And there's a lot of promoters that even shy away at two-day shows. Here you are at the beginning of your season. You're racing four straight nights before going into four more nights of racing the following week. Why does that work for you, maybe where it wouldn't work for a track maybe out here if we tried that maybe in March or April?
No, I don't know. We kind of did some stuff with late models when I was in Tucson at USA Raceway. We did the Wild West shootout down there, and the format worked real well. And so I figured I'd try it with sprint cars, and we did it the first year. And we had some struggles, but we made it through, and it was a fun event. And then, you know, last year we got through it again. And, it, you know, I don't know why it worked, just something that popped up in my head and a vision that I had and something that I wanted to try. I've always wanted to do a speed week in Arizona. And unlike Indiana, July is not a good time to do it here, so why not January? And it's tough because, of course, you have one of the biggest midget races in the country going on right now. And so guys are there, and then you've got, you know, Australia and guys getting ready to go to Florida and Super Bowl and Daytona and everything else in between to deal with. But for whatever reason, we've been able to make it work for the last few years, and I think it'll be bigger this year. Brady Bacon's coming out. This will be his first debut at the Winter Challenge. Dave Darwin's coming back. And, you know, we got Ryan Bernal coming from California. Nick Foss coming from California. A bunch of people from around the Southwest. And, of course, we've got a great core group of sprint car racers right here in Arizona and New Mexico. So it's going to be a pretty stout field of sprint cars. And then on the modified side, I think we had 36 or 38 modifieds each night last year. So we get a lot of guys from Iowa, Nebraska, Minnesota, all over back in the Midwest and in the North, and they all get to come out here and play a little bit. And IMCA awards points for that. The national points are already in effect starting in January, so these guys are trying to get a jump start on that. And it's a good combination with the IMCA modifieds and the sprint cars together. So,
Kevin Montgomery joining us from Canyon Speedway Park. Kevin, what inspired you to get into the promoting side of the business? How did you get involved in promoting a racetrack?
Quite honestly, I was I've raced, owned race cars, and been around racing all my life. And I was a general contractor building houses. And as you guys all know, the housing market failed miserably about 5 years ago, 6 years ago. A friend of mine, Benji Lyons, was going to promote the racetrack in Tucson and asked me if I'd come and help him. And so I did. I was there just to kind of help him at first, and then we kind of got rolling in it. And it's always been something that I've wanted to do. And tried to get into more, but it was kind of hard while you're racing, fielding cars to also be a promoter. So, I was able to help him, and then as we got rolling and things got going, then I just kind of stayed at it.
And kind of looking around here a little bit, I see some University of Toledo on your resume.
Right.
So how much of that had an effect on your love of racing being in the Ohio area?
You know, I went to the I was born and raised in Arizona, a native of Arizona, and I got the opportunity to go to the University of Toledo. Nick Saban was actually the head coach there when I was recruited to go play football there. And he left after a year, and I got to play for a guy named Gary Pinkel, which is at MISU now. Quite honestly, I missed a lot of opportunities in the racing world when I was in Ohio. I've never been to Eldora. I was 2 hours away from it, for 5 years, and I never went. I wasn't really focused on racing at that time. More focused on playing football and stuff. And, you know, I wish that I would have taken advantage of more opportunities when I was in that area to go and see and do more things. But, you know, when you're 18, 19, 20 years old, you don't really look at those type of things.
That and driving 2 hours after a two-a-day from Nick Saban probably would not be high on my priority list. Kevin Montgomery joining us here from Canyon Speedway Park. Some other neat things on the schedule. You have the Copper on Dirt, and this is a neat thing I feel that you guys are keeping alive there with the open wheel cars kicking off the season, not only with your winter champs, but also the big February event as well.
The Copper on Dirt, the history of the Copper on Dirt, you know, the Copper World Classic was always run at the big track here in Phoenix, the mile oval on pavement. And it was something that a friend of mine, Dennis Wood, started way back when. The Copper World Classic became historical in racing all over the country. And at the time that the corporate America took over that racetrack and they got rid of the Copper World Classic, Dennis Wood had the idea of creating the Copper on Dirt. And at that time, it was the USAC Triple Crown with Silver Crown cars, midgets, and sprint cars. And he came up with the idea in December. I remember talking to him in December. He said, we're going to do this thing in February. And he had 136 cars in the pits and a pre-sold-out crowd. Didn't have parking for everybody. I mean, it was a huge, huge, huge event. And something that when Manzanita died, I wanted to keep alive because it was such a great event. We ran it for a few years in Tucson, and I had to change the format because obviously the USAC Silver Crown guys and the USAC kind of stopped their West Coast swing in the spring. So we changed the format, and I copied what the Copper World Classic did, where I had modifieds. I had, they had Southwest Tour stock cars at that time, so I put late models in place, and then we've got sprint cars and midgets. So it kind of follows the format of four unique divisions of what the Copper World Classic used to be. And we ran that format this past year in 2013, and we sold out, and I don't even know how many cars we had there, but it was a great event, great racing all weekend, and I'm really looking forward to doing the Copper on Dirt again.
One amazing thing, I look at your schedule, and Grant, there's 6 inches of snow outside my door, so I couldn't even think about racing at this point around here. But I look at your schedule. You start practice for the Winter Challenge in January 23rd. I go down the line here, and in a lot of warm weather environments, you'll see tracks maybe take some time off in June and July due to the heat. I look at your schedule, and there's a little gap in July, but I mean, you guys at Canyon Race, from January to the end of January, right up until the Western World at the end of November, which that is a tremendously long season, which it's good to have that many opportunities. But what challenges does that offer you as a promoter to be able to promote a schedule that long and be able to still draw people into the stands?
You know, I just am glutton for punishment. I when I got into the promoting business, I called Emmett Hahn and I said, "Hey, I've got this opportunity to come up," and he says, "What do you think about it?" I said, "What do you think about it?" Emmett said, he said, "Well, it just takes a little bit of common sense," but he says it's a 7-day a week job. And he was right about both. It takes a little bit of common sense and it's a 7-day a week job. It's probably a little bit more than that. It is more work than anybody could ever imagine. Everybody looks in from the outside and they think that it's easy. It's, you know, you show up, you throw a little water on the track and answer a few phone calls, and it's not that at all. There is so much involved. You have to be able to be willing to do every job from cleaning toilets to writing press releases to doing website stuff to selling tickets. You have to be able to do all that stuff. And luckily I have some pretty good help, doing all that. But it's constant. And with I think we have 38 races on our schedule plus practices, it's even more so.
And you're at Canyon, and one thing you have done since you've gotten to Canyon, you've done a lot of improvement. There's a new wall put up last year, and other things around the facility. What kind of new things can racers and fans expect to see at Canyon for this upcoming season?
We just finished, towards the end of last year, we put a back straightaway fence up right away when we got there, and towards the end of last year, we built a fence in turns 3 and 4. And I just finished, as a matter of fact, they're painting it tomorrow. I just finished building the fence in turns 1 and 2. So now the entire racetrack is fenced in, which does a lot of things for us. It's going to be a tremendous help in keeping racetracks wide and racy and a lot of other benefits. I always try to, every week, do something that is an improvement, from the smallest things to the biggest things, but we always try to do improvements. There's endless amounts of improvements that need to be done, but, you know, you can only, Noah's Ark was not built in a day, I don't think, was it?
Doubtful.
So it's always constant and constantly improving, constantly making strides to make the experience better, the racing experience better. But I could fill up a whole notepad full of improvements that you could do and it would never end. But like I said, we always try to make one improvement every week. They're not always big, they're not always noticeable, but it could be a sign here or, you know, some lights here or whatever the case may be. So we're always trying to improve and on top of that, keep the facility clean. Just overall making the experience for the fans the best that it can be. I think, you know, starting on time, ending on time, things like that are very important. And I think that some of that's got lost over the years in the racing industry.
that's one thing we talk about quite a bit on this show is when you go to other events and stuff, they try to stay within the 2.5 to 3.5 hour window. Now, granted, you know, someone knocks the fence down or the lights go out. That's, you know, one thing. But just too often we run into racetracks that drag their program on way past the length of time where maybe a family of four isn't going to sit through it. Is that something you guys try to hit on there at Canyon?
My goal is to be done in 3 hours, 3.5 hours max. 4 hours is pushing it. There's a reason why movies are the length that they are. I mean, it's not by coincidence that every movie is 1.5 to 2 hours long. Somebody's figured out the attention span and stuff like that. Somebody a lot smarter than me has figured that stuff out. My goal is always to try to be done in 3 to 3.5 hours. Very important to start on time, because if you have a start time of 7 o'clock and you can end at 10 or 10:30, people can endure that, and families can endure that. It's when you start at 7:30 or 7:45 and you end at 11:15 or 11:30 that it's drug out. Kids can't stay awake that long. Families don't want to bring their kids out for that long. You lose the attention span of your fans. So starting on time, ending on time is very important. Does it happen all the time? No, it doesn't. But we've got a pretty good track record of making that stuff happen.
And that's the words of somebody who gets it. Kevin Montgomery here from Canyon Speedway Park. And I don't mean to throw away the middle of your schedule, because there are a ton of races. But one thing I want to hit on before the interview ended, your Western World program has expanded this year. It's 3 full nights. Looks like Thursday, there's a kickoff party, but there's also Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Now, is Thursday a practice night, or is that actually a race night this year?
No, the Western World's typically been 3 nights since I've been running it, and it was even back, you know, the past 10 or 15 years. We have a practice night on, I think, a Wednesday. We do the kickoff party Tuesday, and I think we practice on Wednesday, and then we race Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And we take the sprint cars and we split the field. Run half the sprint cars on Friday or Thursday night, and the other half on Friday night, and then the midgets ran all 3 nights. We had great racing for 3 nights, and of course, if anybody's seen the video of the end of the race with the Brian Clausen's last corner pass for the $5,000 bonus, he actually made it. That was $8,000 or $9,000 pass that he made in turn 3 and 4. For the final lap of the Western World, and it couldn't have gotten any better than that.
And that's the kind of best kind of promotion there is. And that's another thing I wanted to touch on, too. You're a promoter that does a lot of what I call new school promoting. I see a lot of social media things from you. The press releases are always timely and nice looking and such. And what are you finding is working for your racetrack in this new digital age? It's not as easy as putting some flyers up on the telephone poles and maybe buying a couple newspaper ads. What's working for Canyon Speedway Park?
You know, we do a lot of stuff. I'm on social media all the time because it's a great outlet. It's free. It reaches a lot of people. Spending a lot of money on advertising doesn't work in the racetrack promoting industry. We're not Coca-Cola. We're not, you know, people that spend millions of dollars on marketing. We can't necessarily do that at this level, at the grassroots dirt track level. So you have to take advantage of the things that help you that don't cost a lot of money. We obviously do TV ads. We do radio ads. But we do a lot of guerrilla marketing. I heard that term once, and I kind of took it from there. But, I mean, we do flyers for every race. We make every race an event. We pass out flyers at anywhere that we can. We leave them in stores. We take them to our sponsors. A lot of that kind of stuff. We put cars on display at our sponsors, at restaurants. The guerrilla marketing stuff has worked very well for us. A friend of mine told me once that you lose your customers one at a time, and you can only expect to gain them back one at a time. So that's what my goal is to gain customers back one at a time. Either customers that have forgotten about racing or got disgusted with the fact that they went for 5 hours or whatever the case may be, they stopped coming to racing. Our goal is to get those and new customers back one at a time. So that's what we focus on. It's not something that you can expect to increase your crowd by 30% by doing advertising. It doesn't work that way. It's all about branding and getting the name out there. And then when you do get them there, retaining them, keeping them there. That all goes back to start and finish times and the quality of the show and pricing and the type of food and all of the above.
And this is the guy that's offering you the Canyon Speedway Park experience. He's doing a heck of a job out there, Kevin Montgomery. Kevin, if people want more information on Canyon Speedway Park, what outlets can they find it at?
Best place to go is canyonspeedwaypark.com.
All right, so the website, canyonspeedwaypark.com.
Yeah, all the information you need is right there on our website. If they can't get what they need there, call 602-258-RACE, and they can get any information they need at that point.
Well, Kevin, like I said, I've been an admirer from afar from a long time of your work promoting. I really, as a person that likes promoters that get it, so to speak, you are definitely on my short list for that. So I appreciate everything you do out there and wish you best of luck with the upcoming 2014 season.
You're going to have to make a trip out here at some point.
You know, it looks pretty good right now, let me tell you, with all the snow out here. Well, next year, I'm actually planning on doing a tour of all racetracks that I've never been to before. So maybe I'll have to add that Canyon Speedway Park trip on my list. So I'll try to do that. Thank you, Kevin.
Let me know when you're headed this way.
Will do. Thanks, Kevin. We're going to take a quick
break.
Thanks for
having me on.
Yep, when we come back, we're going to talk some Chili Bowl. You're listening to TJ Slideways Live here on racesontheweb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing in racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for information. everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the features, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air. As Must-See Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth, watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rock it around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Friday Night Thunder returns to Oshwegan Speedway for the 2013 season, featuring the Corpac Sprint Car Series, Thunderstocks, Mini Stocks, and Bombers every Friday night. For more information, call 888-720-7223 or visit OshweganSpeedway.com for more information. Welcome back to TJ Sideways Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com. We were scheduled to have a couple of different people from Lincoln Speedway on tonight. Alan Kreitzer was going to try to make it here, but we just had some logistical problems, so we're going to be doing the Lincoln Speedway talk next week. So either Bill or Alan or someone from Lincoln Speedway going to be on next week's show. We had a couple different things lined up for this week, that various things because of Tulsa, Australia, kids' basketball games, and everything else for whatever reason didn't come together this week. So you get me for the final segment tonight. And I just wanted to cover a couple of things. First off, if you have a chance, pay attention to our schedule page. We are updating that every day. There's another big update going to be going up later tonight with a Waynesfield schedule and a few other things. But that schedule is booming right now. Everything seems to be coming in. We have huge chunks of stuff coming into the schedule page. Make sure to pay attention to it. So locally here in the Michigan area, we got a little bit of a sneak peek at some schedule stuff. Look for approximately 6 non-sanctioned sprint car programs at I-96 Speedway for the 2014 season. And a couple of clumps are going to have about 6 programs, it looks like, that are non-sanctioned, and a couple of sprints on dirt shows, I believe the first weekend in August and also the first weekend in May. So there's some local news for you. And of course, the Chili Bowl getting ready to kick off practice day today. Look for images from one of our photographers, Serena Dahlhammer, down there shooting for us all week. Does a great job as always, as she does at Knoxville and everywhere else she goes. But, I know Chili Bowl is her first love of racing, and, she emailed us today and had a ball down there in practice. A couple cars upside down, nothing major, but all the major players making it through unscathed in practice today for the Chili Bowl Nationals, which will be on MAV TV live Saturday night. So you may want to make sure to get somewhere where you can watch it live, whether it be your favorite pub that might have MAV TV, or we're going to have to buddy up the friend's houses. Apparently, I'm heading over to Mudcloud Bob's house on Saturday to watch the finale. But also, the Racing Boys will have pay-per-view every night of the Chili Bowl Nationals. So there's pay-per-view packages available. Our friend Jeff Converse, one of the cameramen on that deal, 5 cameras running just for the pay-per-view of the Chili Bowl, all 5 nights of it. So make sure if you're going to get that pay-per-view, it's going to be a good one. Lots of camera angles of the biggest midget car race in the world. So that taking place in Tulsa, Oklahoma, a lot of media attention spread on that. We get asked a lot why I don't go to cover it. It's because I have a real job, and unfortunately, my day job is not really lended to taking the second week of, or third week, of January off. And you only get so much vacation time, and I probably could pull it off, but it would eliminate about 3/4 of the racing I do during the summer. And it comes right down to it. We're going to go out again at some point. I don't know if we'll do the whole week. We might do it to where we just do Friday and Saturday, but it's hardly, from where we live, it's kind of you need to at least do 3 days to do it right. And, To me, if I can't do the whole thing, it's kind of a effort and futility. You're kind of getting there halfway through the story to tell it. And plus we have plenty of people that travel around for us now that are covering those things. So I'm going to allow them to cover it this year, but eventually I'll probably make my way back there. I've been pondering it for a couple of years. And, I mentioned in the previous segment something we're already playing this year's schedule. It's going to be pretty typical of, other schedules, but in 2015, something I'm tossing around is doing 3/4 of my schedule going to all racetracks that I either haven't been to for at least 10 years or have never been to before. And it's been kind of interesting. I'm kind of putting together a mock schedule of what that would look like this year. And I think realistically for next year, that could be a possibility, something that shake things up a little bit. So you can tell us what you think about that and other things via our Twitter account at TJ Slideways or our Facebook page for TJSlideways.com. As far as the picked for this week's Chili Bowl, I'm going to go with the non-Swindell pick. I joke there are two picks at the Chili Bowl right now. You take the Swindells or you take the field. And right now, I'm actually going to take the field. And the only reason I am doing that is just surely the numbers. I mean, Kevin Swindell has won the last 4. He's going for 5 in a row. The Swindells have, Sammy and Kevin have won the last 5. And when you look at that, it's so remarkable. I mean, you're talking about two guys that don't do a lot of midget car racing. In fact, Kevin at this point has probably done more than Sammy overall. But, you know, with this short USAC stint. But, I mean, you look at both of them. They're not doing it regularly, and they have dominated that race. And over 33% winning percentage, about a third of the time, a Swindell wins the Chili Bowl. And you go back and you look at the Chili Bowl, and it's a lot of guys that do have midget experience. You do get the Andy Hillenburg that wins once in a while or someone like that. For the most part, you get someone that has some midget car experience and races midgets on a regular basis. So when you're filling out whatever picks you're making for fun or for validity, or if there might be, you know, some unspoken cash prize at the end, you want to keep that in mind. It's really tempting sometimes to take the star driver, but when it comes right down to it, you know, the Swindells, anyone on the Coons team, for Keith Coons, and then pretty much you look for people that do some sprint car midget racing or have some midget racing success. You know, look at Corey Kruseman last year. He's a guy who's kind of flown under the radar the past couple of years. Veteran driver, one of the best known sprint car drivers in the world, but, you know, has actually increased his midget racing a little bit, comes away with a prelim win last year. So that's the kind of pick when you're looking at Chili Bowl picks you want to look at. It's maybe someone that's had some success, maybe done a little more midget racing than most people think. A lot of sprint car people, you know, that follow exclusively sprint car racing won't necessarily pick up on that. And so if you're making picks for any particular item, that might be one thing you want to pay attention to before you submit your picks for the week. And for me, I'll take the field versus the Swindells, but we'll narrow it down a little bit more throughout the week. We're going to make our picks, our wins, surprises, and our dark horse picks for each night. But we're going to shorten this edition of TJ Slideways Live due to everything going on in Tulsa and everything else. Plus, we have to get ready for another ice storm getting ready to come in here. So on behalf of all my sponsors, I want to thank Kevin Montgomery for joining us tonight for this shortened edition of TJ Slideways Live, but a very interesting interview. That's a guy that gets it, and it's kind of a promoter we like talking to. So we'll be back next week at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern with another edition. Thank you, and good night.
Thank you for listening to this edition of TJ Slideways Live.